ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिता भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् स्मृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवती ते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैः सवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न स्वगतः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ
ॐ
श्री
श्री गणेशाय
गणेशाय
नमः।
नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वते नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
नमः। So we are almost at the end of the fourth chapter. We will finish today. Last week we had studied about how the fire of knowledge burns all karmas, just as blazing fire burns all the wood. Same way, the knowledge removes my doership and connects me with the self. And we had talked about that last week. And there is no greater purifier than knowledge, Bhagwan tells us. And one who takes up this path of knowledge, of the highest knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita given by Bhagwan himself and interpreted by Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda Ji, one who reaches, who takes that path, kalen atmani vindati, soon he or she will reach this highest goal of liberation. And then Bhagwan had told us, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, tatpara sayateendriya. One should have faith, have devotion to God and to this knowledge, and control the senses. And param shanti madhigacchati, soon he will get the supreme peace. So last week we heard about Shraddhavan, and one who has faith in this knowledge and devotion to this knowledge. What about the other one? How does that person live? So Bhagwan makes sure that he gives us both sides of the picture, what one should do and what one should not do. So we'll go to shloka number 40, chapter 4, shloka number 40. Agnyascha
संशयात्मा विनश्यति
नायं लोकोऽस्ति न परः
लोकोऽस्ति
न सुखं संशयात्मनः।
न सुखं स्वश्रयात्मनः
टुगेदर अग्न्यश्चाश्रद्दधानश्च
संशयात्मा विनश्यति नायं लोकोऽस्ति न
परः न
न
सुखं
सुखं
संशयात्मनः। सो हाउ अबाउट दोज हू डू नॉट हैव दिस नॉलेज एंड डू नॉट हैव फेथ। सो अग्न्यश्च, अग्न्य मीन्स द इग्नोरेंट वन हु डज नॉट हैव नॉलेज, अश्रद्धा वन ना वन हु डज नॉट हैव दिस श्रद्धा, च मीन्स एंड, एंड द थर्ड वन इज संशयात्मा हु डाउट्स एवरीथिंग। ही डजंट हैव नॉलेज, ही डजंट हैव फेथ एंड ही इज ऑलवेज डाउट, व्हाट दे कॉल एज डाउटिंग थॉमस। विनश्यति ही पेरिशेस एंड न अयम लोक अस्ति, फॉर हिम नीदर दिस वर्ल्ड ही हैज न परह नॉर द हायर वर्ल्ड। दैट मीन्स इन बोथ द वर्ल्ड ही इज अ फेलियर एंड न सुखम संशयात्मनः। वन हु हैज डाउट्स इन हिज माइंड ऑलवेज ऑल्सो कैन नॉट हैव सुख, कैन नॉट हैव जॉय, कैन नॉट हैव दिस ट्रू ट्रू हैप्पीनेस। सो वॉट इज इग्नोरेंट? सो इग्नोरेंट वन इज वी आई एम इग्नोरेंट अबाउट, ओके वॉट एम आई गोइंग टू ईट फॉर ब्रेकफास्ट, आई डोंट नो, और वॉट क्लोथ्स एम आई गोइंग टू वेयर, और वॉट कार एम आई गोइंग टू बाई। देन चिल्ड्रन हैव इग्नोरेंस अबाउट, ओके विच कॉलेज एम आई गोइंग टू, वॉट इज गोइंग टू बी माई मेजर, देन वॉट जॉब एम आई गोइंग टू टेक, यू नो वॉट कैरियर। सो दीज आर वर्ल्डली इग्नोरेंस, बट द हाइएस्ट इग्नोरेंस विच भगवान इज टॉकिंग अबाउट इज नॉट नोइंग हु आई एम, not knowing my true nature as Om. I think I am this perceiver, feeler and thinker and this body, mind, intellect. And that is my whole purpose in life, is to take care of this body and achieve success in the world. No doubt that is required, but that is not the highest goal of life. And then Ashraddha, again, one who has no faith, he says, don't have faith in anything. I don't have faith in Bhagwan. I don't have faith in scriptures. I don't have faith in the teacher, in my guru. And he doubts everybody. You know, we doubt everyone. Such a person, this person did me a favor. Why did he do it? Looking for hidden motive, not saying, okay, usne kiya achcha hai. No, why? What is was the reason? Maybe he wants something. Or doubting, this person smiled at me. Why is she smiling? What does she want? Or this person does not smile. Why is she not smiling? So all the time doubting, all the time questioning, all the time have no conviction. Get on the plane and we doubt. You know, I hope this pilot knows how to fly. I hope the engine has been checked. I hope it's not a Boeing. Boeing that recently crashed, you know. So doubt in everything. And such a person perishes. Perishes means in this life he's never happy because he's never takes things for what they are. He's always looking for an inner motive. And there are people like that who are very suspicious of everything, of the food in the restaurant, of the whatever the shopkeeper, maybe he's cheating me, maybe. So they suffer here also in this world. Everything works on faith. You know, when you are in a business deal, you have faith in the other partner. Otherwise, if you keep doubting, then again, all your activities will be colored by this doubt. maybe this person will cheat me, maybe this person will not do what they promise. So he will not be happy, and then the other person also will feel your negativity, that this guy doesn't like me, this guy doesn't trust me. So in life, we have to have faith, and we have to have trust, and we have to have... Guruji once told us, he says, do not doubt the goodness of people. See, we always think, are koi nahi help karega, nobody will do. Guruji, Swami Tejomayananji had said, you start this work and people will come to help. Because we were in the beginning very doubtful, you know, because we had very few people, not much money. And to build this, you know, $2 million facility, we didn't have funds. And, you know, a couple of us actually had to sign our house to get a loan from the bank because, you know, bank was not ready to give up. So Guruji said, go ahead and do the work and people will come. So we should not doubt the goodness of people. People essentially are good. And that is the way to work in the world and also in the hereafter to go into the higher worlds also. How my life will be after death, again, depends on how my actions are. If my actions are pure, compassionate, kind, helping, then my life afterwards also will be better. But if I am doubting, I am fighting, I am angry, I am questioning, suspicious, then neither here I'll be happy nor in the higher worlds. And such people even doubt their guru, their teacher, you know. I'm not sure about this knowledge. And unless you have faith, not that you should not question your teacher. If you have a genuine doubt, you can question. But to basically doubt the teacher, then knowledge cannot occur in any field, whether you are studying math or science or learning driving or dance or the spiritual knowledge. One should have faith in one's teacher, respect for one's teacher. And what that does, this knowledge brings unity, brings togetherness. But why do we see so much violence in the world? Because people don't trust each other. People don't trust each other for the slightest thing. They take out a gun and shoot. They even shoot at the police, at the, you know, and then between nations, so much conflict, so much violence, so much killing. Why? Because this person doesn't trust other person. This religion doesn't trust other religion. This nation doesn't trust another nation. And then there is bombing and all the tragedies occur because of the lack of trust. I'll now tell you a little long story about Dhundukari. This story illustrates a person who exactly was this. He had no knowledge, no faith, and was doubtful. So there was this man named Atmadev, Brahmin, very nice person, very wealthy, very successful, and very kind, compassionate, sharing. And he married a girl called Dunduli. This lady was from a very good family, but she turned out to be very cunning, very suspicious, very dishonest, you know, very not treating people well. So Atmadev kind of put up with it. And it so happened that many years they didn't have a child. So Atmadev was very sad because he said, if I don't have a child, who is going to do my Shraddha and all that? So one day he was sitting by the lake, very sad, and this Sadhu Mahatma comes there. And he looks at him, child, why are you so sad? He says, he bows down and says, Mahatma ji, I don't have a child. Please bless me with a child. So Mahatma looks at his hand. He says, there is no life child for you for seven lives. You will not have. Oh, he starts crying. Please, please. He bows down, touches his feet. Do anything. He says, okay, I'll bless you with a child, but the child will not make you happy. He said, doesn't matter, Mahatmaji, just give me, please, please. So Mahatmaji gives him a fruit. He says, go give this to your wife and tell her for the next few months she has to be sattvic, she has to eat one meal a day, be kind and nice to people, have sattvic thoughts, sattvic food, sattvic. And then this fruit will help. So he goes and tells his wife, you know, Mahatmaji gave, and these are the conditions. Now she didn't want a child. She said, it's going to ruin my figure. You know, if I get on top of that, I have to follow all these conditions. Forget it. I don't want a child. How to get out of this now? How to get out? So it happens. She said, I'll eat the fruit tomorrow. You know, so next day her sister comes and she talks to her younger sister already had 3-4 children and she was pregnant again. So she tells her, this is my problem. They discuss this. Younger sister says, look, I'm going to have a baby in 8-9 months. You can have my baby, you know, and we'll tell him it is yours. You come during the delivery and we'll be in our parents' house and, you know, I'll deliver and you can have that baby. And what about the fruit? He says, give it to the cow. So Dunduli gives the fruit to the cow. Now the cow also didn't have a calf, so gives the fruit to the cow. And 9 months later, Dunduli goes to her parents' house. Her sister delivers, so she brings the child as her own and calls it Dundukari. Because she was Dunduli, so Dundukari. And the child and the cow has a baby, a human baby, because of that power of that fruit. And that human baby had cow's ears. That was completely human, but cow's ears. And so they called him Gokarna. Go means cow, Karna means ears, so one who has cow's ears. Now Gokarna grew up to be a very evolved, very peaceful, very loving and great knowledge. He very quickly picked up the spiritual knowledge, absolutely sattvic individual. And this Dundukari, because of his mother's influence and all that, was an absolute terror. Used to fight with everybody and, you know, in school, college, never went to college. In school, he used to fight. And then he started drinking as he grew older and as he became a young man. And then he would take all the money from his parents and use it in drinks. And it so happened that he was so bad that all the money in the house was finished. And he would fight with his parents. And one day he told his father, give me money, I need to drink. Father says, look, you spent all the money. So he took his puja articles, you know, the silver that he used to do prayers. He said, I'm going to sell this. Aaj ka kaam chal jayega, but tomorrow you better have some money for me. Atmadev was crying. He was sad that what kind of son I got. And then this Gokarna comes. He says, Father, don't worry. Do not get sad because, see, you came into this world alone and you're going to leave alone. None of these family will go with you. You came empty-handed. You will go empty-handed. Why are you getting so attached and depressed? Says, whatever time you have left, spend it in bhakti and satsang. Forget about all these worldly things. So he gets the wisdom. So he leaves the house and he said, I'm going to spend rest of my time in bhakti and company of saints. And he attains moksha. He gets the highest. Now this mother is now alone with this Dundukari and he comes and he wants more money. He wants more drink. And she said, I don't have any money. You spent it all. So he starts beating her, very badly beating her. And she's so sad, so crying. She runs and jumps in the well and commits suicide. So now Dundukari is happy. Oh, no mother, no father. I am the boss of the house. So he brings 5 prostitutes into his house and starts living with them. And how does he get money? By stealing. He will do some roadside theft, some simple robbery here and there, somebody's house, and take care of them. And their demands increase. You know, they want more and more. So one day he goes to the king's palace and robs in the king's palace his gold, jewelry, and all. And he said, now this money will last us for a long time. Now the 5 girls get scared because king, you know, he will send his soldiers to search every house and we will be in trouble. You know, he's going to put us in trouble. So at night when he's sleeping, they tie him down and they kill him and they burn his body. And they take what I divide up the money and run away. They leave the kingdom. So Gokarna at that time was on a pilgrimage. And so he finds out, one of the villagers goes and tells him that your brother passed away. This is what happened. So Gokarna does his shraddh, you know, wherever they are by the river, he does his shraddh. And he comes home and he's alone, you know, there is nobody else. And so he's, you know, fine. And then that night he sees something and he hears the voice, and it was his brother, Dundukari. He says, Gokarna, he says, I thought you passed away. He said, yeah, but I became a ghost. I'm a ghost, so neither I am here nor I can go to the higher world. I'm stuck here. And what they told me, that in this world I will never get moksha, never get freedom. I'll always be a ghost. And I'm regretting all my bad actions and all. So Gokarna says, no problem, I will do Bhagavad Saptah for you. And so he calls all the villagers and arranges for a Bhagavad Saptah. And, you know, he makes bamboo, you know, like for the pandal, and he starts doing Bhagavad Saptah. Now this ghost, he wants to listen to Bhagavad, so he gets into one bamboo. Inside the bamboo, he's sitting there, and Gokarna is doing Bhagavad Saptah the whole week. And each, and this Dundukari is now desperate to get out. So he's listening with full attention. So he listens, and then all night he's thinking about what he heard. So he's contemplating. So Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, all that he's doing in that bamboo with full attention, because he wants to get out of this ghost body. And the bamboo had 7 knots, you know, K-N-O-T knots. So first day, 1 breaks. Second day, 2nd breaks. Third day, ultimately 7th day, all the 7 knots break. And this ghost comes out, but now he's not a ghost. He looks like almost like an angel, like a devta, you know, with all brilliance around him. And the messengers come from heaven, from Vishnu Bhagwan, and take him to Vishnu Loka. So, and then there were other people listening too, and none of them get taken. So Gokarna says, it's not fair, Bhagwan. Only my brother got taken. How about all these other people? So he hears the voice from the angel, Bhagwan's messenger. He says, look, your brother was listening and paying attention and meditating all night. These other people, they came here either because of the food, or dekhne kaun aaya hai, who else is here, or what clothes they are wearing. And they were not paying attention. And, you know, again, while they were listening to Bhagavad, their mind was on their cow or their family or their business. So that's why they didn't go. So he said, okay, I'll do one more time, Bhagavad Saptah. And this time he tells them, look, you got the message. And they all come again. And Gokarna does again 7 days Bhagavad Saptah, but this time they pay full attention and they all attain moksha. So this problem is, the question is that a person who lives his life like that, you know, where he's doubting, he's ignorant, he's violent, he's, you know, does not love anybody, then he suffers in this world. He has no friends, he has no relationships. And he cannot even go to the higher world, you know, he becomes a ghost. But on the other hand, Gokarna, even though he was born in the same family, had the same parents, but because he had the right knowledge, he had faith in the knowledge, and he had love for all, that's why he does the Bhagavad Saptah again. He says, okay, not only my brother, I want everybody to go up there. So that is the essence of this, that one who is ignorant, who has no faith, who is doubtful, he perishes. And even here and in the other world also, he does not get anywhere. And he can never have any joy, never have any peace, never have, because you are always fighting, you are always not seeing the oneness. You know, to see the oneness, that is the important part. So that is the essence of this beautiful shloka. And this story was very powerful for me, how you can change. What is the power and glory of Bhagavad Sapta when it is done by a wise person and when you listen with that faith? So what it means is that when, say, now Swamiji is coming, you know, that should be our goal, that when Swamiji comes, I have to listen with full faith, full attention, contemplate upon it and apply this knowledge. So October 13 to 16, Monday to Thursday, we will have Swami Ishwaranandji, who will talk to us about Upanishad. So that should be our attitude. That is how we should listen to these Mahatmas. And we should have firm faith in Bhagwan, in the scriptures, in the Guru, and in myself, in my ability. Because God is in all of us. And there is no reason why I should not become one with that. Because we think God is somebody far away, you know, in heaven or in Vaikuntha or somewhere, Kailash. But God is with me at all times. So all I have to do is know that God is with me and connect with God. So the distance is only ignorance. There is no distance. See, distance is the vasana, the ignorance. I have a lot of selfishness and that takes me away from God. When I'm only thinking of me, myself, and I. But as I think of the world, and we will see in the next shloka, how this wise person lives in the world and how he becomes one with that Paramatma and does not get bound by his ignorance. So we'll do that in the next shloka. Number 41. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana samchinna samshayam.
Jnana samchinna samshayam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibadnanti dhananjaya.
Nibadnanti dhananjaya.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam. Jnanam samchinta samshayam. Atmavantam na karmani. Nibadnanti dhananjaya. So, yoga sanyasta karmanam. So, he has given up his karmas in yoga. What is this yoga? We'll talk about it. He has surrendered his actions in yoga. Yoga here means karma yoga. So, his worldly actions are surrendered in karma yoga. They become as karma yoga. And samshaya, man, his doubt is jnana samchinna. Because of the knowledge from his guru, he has, all his doubts have been removed. You know, all his doubts has been removed. And atmavantam, and he always abides in the self. So three things. He does karma yoga. His knowledge is there. His doubts have been removed. And he's always abiding in the self, in Bhagwan, in the consciousness within. So, na karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya, O Arjuna. Karmas do not bind him anymore. He does not get attached excessively to karmas. So, as we said, karma means karma yoga here. Yoga is the karma yoga. So yoga, karma yoga, we all know, actions done for the benefit of all, without I, me, and my, without doership, as a servant of Lord, and whatever result comes, I surrender to God. And karma yoga can be many things. You know, I can work, go help somebody with my labor. If I have time, I can give time. Or I can give labor, you know, I can do some lifting, some cleaning, something like that. Or somebody is in a nursing home, I go and spend time with them, share my love, my compassion. And of course, financially. So service can be done in many ways. And one who lives a life of service and renounces the karta, the doership. See, they say, don't give up karma, give up karta. People think, oh, renouncing means you leave all your actions, go to the forest and meditate. No, rare people may do that, may leave their home and become brahmacharis, you know, go to the ashram, Chinmaya mission and all. But majority of us cannot leave our home, our world. So what you do, give up the doership, karta. Anything you do, any good actions you do, do not take ownership of it. Whatever I'm doing, Bhagwan is making me do. Even a simple thing like cooking or cleaning, or Bhagwan is the doer, I am the instrument. So give up the karta hood. Do not give up the karma. So that I am the doer, I, me, and my, that ego has to be given up. And I am God alone is doing everything. And whatever is happening, good or bad, he is doing it. And he knows what is happening. See, otherwise we say, why is this person doing like that? Why is that politician doing like that? Why is California going there? Why is America going down? You say, you are not a general manager. You're not a general manager of California. You're not a general manager of US. You are definitely not a general manager of the world. So why stress about things? If you can fix something, yeah, in my neighborhood, I can do something to make this world a better place. Do, and then, you know, listen to the news, but do not get too stressed about it. Theek hai, Bhagwan is taking care. He knows what to do. He will take care of everyone, take care of everybody. So then doubts go away. Even people doubt Bhagwan, you know, oh, I did so much puja. I went to the temple. I chanted. I gave so much donation. So we think with Bhagwan also, we should do business. You know, I did so much, so he should do for me. So he says, no, Bhagwan has given you everything you have. Just keep on serving the world with what you have. And without ego, without I, me, and my, you know, because as long as the ego is there, perceiver, feeler, and thinker, as long as I turn towards the ego, I'm further away from the self, from Bhagwan. So inquire, where does this ego arise? Ego arises from ignorance, from vasanas. Because of vasanas, I think I am the doer, I am so great, I am doing so much, and nobody appreciates, nobody helps me, nobody. Just do wherever job you have been, wherever you have been assigned, do your best, and do not get too attached to things or people. And that will happen with inquiry. When you inquire into what is this knowledge, and that only can come by approaching a teacher. When we approach a guru, you know, like read Bhagavad Gita by Pujya Gurudev or meet Mahatmas, then with inquiry, you will develop detachment. What is detachment? Detachment is I, me, and my. I'm not attached to things and beings. Things and beings, when I'm dependent on something or somebody for my happiness, then it causes attachment. So I am fine, I am free, irrespective of whatever is happening in the world. Because they say Atma and Anatma. See, there are two things. Atma is the consciousness, Om, which is all pervading. Anatma is everything else that we see in the world. In Tuesday also, we'll be talking in more detail about this. But should I be attached to Atma, the self, or attached to Anatma? As long as you remain attached to Anatma, what is not real, what is temporary, what is changing, you will have sorrows. So connect yourself with God, and that we can do through bhakti, through doing his work, constant remembrance. and through gratitude. Gratitude is very, very important, where I have to understand that God is the one that has given me everything. I had one of my students who used to come to the meditation class. He moved to the coast and he recently passed away at age 98. Very, very evolved soul, very, very wise, very nice person. Always did a lot of charity. And he used to begin his meditation with gratitude. Once he had come to our house, we had a Swami there and he picked up this gratitude. So every morning, first he would start his meditation with 5 minutes of gratitude. I'm grateful to God for this, this, this. And then he said, after 1 minute, you run out of things. So you have to find things that you are grateful for. And when you do that, then your heart is filled with love and compassion that God has given me so much. He was a very successful businessman. And he would always give, very generous, even to the mission, even to his church, everywhere. So when we see such people living such a life, then we get inspired, you know, that look at these persons, so wealthy, so successful, at the same time, so humble. So that's what he says. One who's connected with the self, then it is very easy to detach from objects, emotions, and thoughts. Otherwise, we look for happiness in the world. The world will never give us happiness. Temporarily, you will have some joy, but eventually it will go away. So only way is to find the source of eternal joy, the eternal bliss, that is Atma, that is consciousness. And such a person is no longer bound. He is free and goes beyond all the worldly bondages, all the worldly attachments. We'll go to number 42. Tasmat. So Bhagwan ends now this chapter. Tasmat means therefore. So having told you all these things in the 41 shlokas, Bhagwan says, therefore, what should you do? Having heard all this discourse, what should you do? Tasmad ajnana sambhutam.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam.
Tritstam jnanasi natmanah.
Tritstam jnanasi natmanah.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam.
Atishto tishtha Bharata.
Atishto tishtha Bharata.
Tasmat ajnana sambhutam. Kristam jnanasi natmanah. Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Atishto tishtha Bharata. So Bhagavan says, now having got this knowledge, what should you do? Final message for us in the fourth chapter. He says, therefore, ajnana sambhutam, arising from ignorance. And what is arising from ignorance? In the second line, he says, samshayam. And then the first line, atmanaha. So the doubt about this knowledge, doubt about this self, how does it arise? From ajnana, from ignorance. And where is this ignorance? Where is this doubt? Hritstam, in the heart. Heart, we have discussed before, is not the pumping heart that pumps the blood, but heart is where the mind and intellect meet. So, intellect with knowledge and mind with love. And the knowledge and the love meet together. And when that person's heart is, they say, no, he has a very good heart. Very good heart does not mean he, you know, his left ventricle is very strong. Very good heart means he's very kind, very compassionate, very loving. So that heart, when there is doubt, what should you do? Jnana asina, with the sword of knowledge. See, Arjuna was a warrior. So Bhagwan uses the example of sword. With the sword of knowledge, ignorance of the self, atmanaha, chitva, Chitwa, having cut it, so cut your ignorance with the sword of knowledge. Cut all your doubts, all your negativity. Enam yogam. So in this yoga, atishta, take refuge in this yoga. So Bhagwan says this chapter is called Karma Sannyasa Yoga. I have given Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So this chapter, this knowledge, take refuge in that. And Utishtha, get up, Arjuna, get up and do your duty. Of course, for Arjuna, it was to get up and fight the war. For you and me, Bhagwan is saying, get up from your laziness, from your ignorance, from your foolishness, and rise to your higher stature. Do not just think you are an ordinary being. You are divine. Every one of us is divine. Every one of us is Bhagwan. So wake up to your real nature. That's why even Swami Vivekananda said, arise, awake. Stop not till the goal is reached. What he means awake does not mean that we are sleeping physically, but we are sleeping mentally. So Swamiji says, wake up from this sleep of ignorance and reach your goal of infinity. So heart, we already talked about where the heart is. And the sword, we said, is the sword of knowledge. And with the sword of knowledge, you can cut your ignorance. Now, what is yoga? So yoga, of course, we had talked in the previous shloka, means karma yoga. Here, Bhagwan uses the word yoga, not in karma yoga, not in meditation, dhyana yoga, but in these 12 yajnas, see, throughout the fourth chapter, Bhagwan had given us 12 yajnas. Control of the body, control of the mind, control of speech, company of good people, getting the right knowledge, applying this knowledge, and then destroying your ignorance and connecting with the self. So these 12 exercises that Bhagwan has given us in the fourth chapter, which are the yajnas, and the yajna spirit means working for the benefit of all. That is yajna spirit. Yajna is not only offering in the fire, but I offer my ignorance in the fire of knowledge. I offer my selfishness in the fire of knowledge and live for the benefit of all. So practice that yajna, destroy your ignorance with the sword of knowledge and rise. We already spoke about rise for Arjuna is to get up and do his duty. For us also, get up and do your duty. Whatever Bhagwan says, I have given you this job, whatever place I have placed you, whether it's as a mother or a father or a husband and wife or a child or brother or sister, then as a citizen of, you know, Bakersfield, a citizen of California, a citizen of the US, citizen of the entire world. So I should do my duty wherever I am and whatever to whatever extent I can do to help others, do my duty. And love. People say, people don't love me. There is so much hatred. There is so much anger. There is so much problem. You say, don't worry. You love. Even if the person doesn't love you, you don't have any hatred for that person. And that love in your heart will eventually work. Eventually, it will help. So if I poison, if somebody gets angry, I get angry, then I'm just, you know, doubling the anger, multiplying the anger. Somebody says bad things to me, I say double to them. Usne ek bola, main do bolunga, you know, like that. He said one, I'll say two. Then the idea is that I should be kind, compassionate, loving, and be peaceful within my heart. And then I will become a vehicle of love. And we see in these Mahatmas, they even loved the people who hated them, you know, Sant Yaneshwar, Tukaram, you know, all Narsi Mehta, all these great saints, Mirabai. They had so much love and compassion for everyone and no hatred in their heart. So we should learn from them. And then, you know, we talk about laws. What are the laws of this? So one is we believe in laws of the world, right? Physical laws we believe in. They say, I only believe in what I see, what I hear. If I see it, it's real. If I hear it, God, I don't know where he is. I have not seen him. I have not heard of him. I don't believe in that law. Or the law of karma. I don't believe in this karma and all. You know, it is for olden times in India, it was valid. This is a modern age. You know, we don't believe in all this ignorance. But do you believe in the law of gravity? Oh, yeah, of course I believe in gravity. Otherwise, you go to the third floor and jump. You will break your leg or you will die. So he says the physical laws I believe in, gravity, electricity, magnetism, law of physics, chemistry. But these spiritual laws, I'm not sure. You know, who has seen heaven? Kisne dekha hai? Who has gone and come back and told us? And who has told us there is hell? And they say, look at this world. How, you know, you can see here itself. The law of karma works for everyone. Good karmas eventually will result good, you know, have good results. Bad karma, sooner or later, the person suffers. And then people who are born with, you know, a lot of suffering and so on, you know, we feel sorry for them, but it's probably because of the karmas they had done in the past. So karmas, the law of karma is infallible. And as far as heaven and hell, our rishis in their meditation had seen all those worlds. It's not that they just manufactured, oh, Bhagavan Vishnu is on the Sheshnag and Lord Shiva is in meditation. All that is real, all that they have seen. And they have experienced all the higher worlds and the lower worlds. So they when you become one with that entity in your, and they also knew about all the distances between here and sun and moon and all the astronomy, astrology, the position of the stars, planets, without any telescope, without any thing, they could predict, you know, all that. So we can see in the lives of Mahatmas how they are able to, and what do we need for that? What should we do? So they say two things, clarity of knowledge and purity of heart. Clarity of knowledge. So I should have the right knowledge from the scriptures and my heart should be pure. When the two are together, then only the knowledge will happen. You may have the clear knowledge, but if your heart is not pure, the knowledge will not stay. Or your heart is very pure, loving, very good, but you say, I don't need this knowledge. They say, no, both are required because we are a mixture of mind and intellect. We are not only mind, not only intellect. With the mind, you should love. With the intellect, you should know. And my body should be guided by the right knowledge, clarity of knowledge and purity of mind. Because just as in a clean vessel, if you pour milk is okay, but if the vessel is dirty, sour, then the milk will get ruined. So same way, this knowledge should be placed in a pure heart. And people say, I am so weak, I don't think I can do it. They say, remember that when God is with you, then you have all the strength. Last week we talked about Janaki Nath. When Bhagwan is helping you, we see that in the lives of these Mahatmas, how wonderfully they were protected, they were taken care of. And the more we advance on this spiritual path and the more time you spend, you will feel God's presence as you devote more time, do more bhakti, do more jnanam. And then the last, I will end with, you know, Ishavasya Upanishad, which was Mahatma Gandhi's favorite Upanishad, especially the first mantra, Ishavasya Midagam Sarvam Yat Kinchit Jagatyan Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita Magrida Kasya Svidhanam. So he says, Ishavasya Midagam Sarvam, whatever you see in this world, in this universe, is pervaded by God, is covered by God, everything. There is nowhere where God is not. God is in every cell of our body, in this table, in the computer, in the fan, in the light, everywhere, in the trees, plants, birds, animals. Everywhere God is present, Jagatyan Jagat, whatever you see, whether the furthest planet trillions of miles away or in the 14 worlds in heavens and all of them, that Ishvara, that Supreme Lord, is there in all the 14 worlds. But tena tyaktena bhunjita, but renounce and enjoy. He said, what do you mean? Renounce the world and enjoy. Renounce again does not mean put on orange clothes and go to the forest, but do not get too attached to things. Because if you are attached, then sooner or later that thing will leave you or that thing will perish. And you can only enjoy if you live a life of detachment. Continue to work in the world with your home, with your family, with your office, with your work, but have the attitude of detachment, not depending on the world for happiness. Only then you can enjoy the world. Tena tyaktena bhunjita. If you get too attached to I, me, and my, this is mine, and this is, and then I have something, then I want more. If I don't get it, I am unhappy. Somebody has more than I am, more than I have, then I become unhappy. Or somebody has less, then I become arrogant. So as long as I'm depending on things for my happiness, I will always have either arrogance or pride or jealousy or greed and all those things. So it says, Tena, Rishi says, Tena tyaktena bhunjita. If you want to really enjoy this world, detach and then work. But realize that anything in the world is temporary and will give me temporary joy. If I want permanent joy, find it in Bhagwan. So this Ishavasya Upanishad we had covered a few years ago in the Tuesday class. It's a short Upanishad, but very beautiful and very practical. If you have time, you can read that Upanishad again. Also, my talks are on first power if you want to hear. So Bhagwan says, take refuge in this knowledge that I have given you. Atishtha, take refuge in this knowledge and then do your work. So have this knowledge and do work. It's like a person starts operating a computer and he has no knowledge of computer, he will make a mess. Or starts driving a car and he has not taken any driving lesson. So same way we function in the world, but without a guru, without knowledge, without scriptures. So they say, get the knowledge and then enjoy. Tena tyaktena bhunjiha. So we'll end here. We have seen in this chapter how to work with the yajna spirit and how to give up our karmas in knowledge. The highest knowledge will take away your karta bhav, your doership. And that is the only way to live in this world with knowledge, faith, and devotion to Bhagwan. So we'll end here the fourth chapter. We'll do the Sankalpa Vakya and then we'll have time for questions. The Sankalpa Vakya is the termination of the chapter, which tells us the fourth chapter is over. Om Tat Sat Iti. तत्सदिति श्रीमद्भगवद्गीतासु
श्रीमद्भगवद्गीतासु
उपनिषत्सु
उपनिषत्सु
ब्रह्मविद्यायां
ब्रह्मविद्यायां
योगशास्त्रे
योगशास्त्रे
श्रीकृष्णार्जुनसंवादे
श्रीकृष्णार्जुनसंवादे
ज्ञानकर्मसंन्यासयोगो नाम
कर्मसंन्यासयोगो
चतुर्थोऽध्यायः.
चतुर्थोऽध्यायः
सो ओम तत्सत इज गॉड्स नेम. ऑल्सो चैंटिंग ओम तत्सत मीन्स इफ आई हैव मेड एनी मिस्टेक्स आई यू नो अपोलोजाइज टू यू एंड टू भगवान that in the discussion of the fourth chapter, or even our understanding, if it has been wrong, When you say Om Tat Sat, it removes all the negativities. Iti, in this way, and Gita, so in the Srimad, in the most worshipped, revered Bhagavad Gita, that's why we say Bhagavad Gita is Mother Gita. You know, we don't just say, oh, Gita or book. It is Mother Gita. It is because it came from Bhagwan's mouth himself. So, and what is Bhagavad Gita? Upanishad. So it is an Upanishad. It is the summary of the entire Upanishadic knowledge. Bhagwan has done it, but made it simple and more worldly practical. See, a lot of these Upanishads, because they speak at a very high level, because the student is high and the teacher is very high. But Bhagavad Gita is that anybody can, anybody in the world, no matter what condition they are in, everybody can apply and understand this Bhagavad Gita. So it is a summary of the Upanishads. It is Brahma Vidya. It is the highest knowledge, but made simple for us by Bhagwan and then Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda Ji, who spent his whole life in writing commentaries and doing Gita Gyana Yajnas throughout the world. And I remember I was blessed. My mother used to take me when I was a teenager in Bombay to his discourses, and he would do each, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks, he would do one chapter every evening. So he spent his whole life, not only Upanishads, but also Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is not only the highest knowledge, but it is a yoga shastra. It is how to apply this knowledge and how to connect my mind with God and keep God with me. And where did this come? Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. It came in a dialogue between Bhagwan Shri Krishna and Arjuna. So we are ever grateful to Bhagwan for giving us this knowledge and Arjuna for being a good student and getting this knowledge. Otherwise, we wouldn't have got if he hadn't told Bhagwan, you know, Shishyaste ham shahi mam tvam prapanna. I am your devotee. I am bowed down to you. I am your Shishya disciple. Please give me this knowledge. And what is the name of this chapter? Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Yoga means, here it means, what is the essence, what is the purpose of this chapter is to Jnana Karma Sannyasa. To give up my karmas in the wisdom of knowledge. With the, so that means perform actions with the right knowledge. And Chaturtho Dhyaya, it is the fourth chapter. So we end here, the fourth chapter. And next week, we'll start chapter number 5, which is Yoga of True Renunciation. This, what he has talked about, Yoga Sanyasta Karmanam in 41, that how to renounce actions, lot more will be told to us in the fifth chapter. And a lot of other good points are covered, how to work and so on. Very, very practical, beautiful chapter. So we'll start that next week. We have about 10 or 12 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, yeah, go ahead, please.
So my question comes with Shloka number 40. Please correct me if I'm wrong in my understanding. Ki kabhi, kabhi, it's hard to put it in your real life. Jaise ki bola hai na, isme ki have faith and always believe in God. And I know I believe in God. I have faith in God. But sometimes life experiences makes you not believe in God. So right. How to, like, you know, hum backtrack ho jate and then we come back on track, nahi Bhagwan hai, then we backtrack. So it's a juggle for me right now, at
right.
least, like, you know. So how to be focused?
Okay, first of all, think, how many things God has given me? Chalo, ek cheez nahi mili, one thing I didn't get. But how many other things we have in this world, especially living in America, we have all the comforts, we have car, we have health, we have family, we have money financially. So if you think about it, you know, whenever doubt comes or any problem comes, what I do, I make a line. On one side, you put all the good things that have happened to me. All the good things, you write them down. And on the other hand, yeah, this bad problem is there. My husband, my teenager, my work, my whatever, you know, health. So problems will be there for everyone. But if you just focus on the problem, then your life will be negative. Focus on all the good things that have happened to you. Kind of parents you got, the childhood you had, how. So when you do that, then your heart becomes filled with gratitude that there is somebody who is doing all this for me. Even my body of 4 billion cells, each cell is working perfectly. And how even when I'm sleeping, my digestive system is working, my heart is working, my lungs are, who is doing all that? I am not. The plants, the trees, all the crops that grow, the food that we have, the oil in the ground. Who is doing all that? You know, who is making the rainfall? So when you look at all that, problems will come. I'm not saying, but rather than focus on what I don't have, focus on what I have. That's number one. Number two, we think of God like an ATM. I press the button, he should give. You know, I put my card in, why am I not getting? If I'm not getting, then maybe I do not deserve it. Or maybe there are some karmas I must have done in my this life or previous life because of which I am having these difficulties. So accept them without complaint. Even if problems come. Bhagwan, it's okay. You are doing it. I'm fine with it. And maybe that this is not the right time. Whatever I have asked for, maybe it might come a year later or 2 years later. Or something I thought I wanted, and 6 months later I realized, oh, I'm so glad it didn't happen. You know, because he knows much more than I do. So constant remembrance. And get up in the morning. Who is the one making me get up? Who is making me think? Who is making me brush my teeth, make breakfast, take care of my family? Only one. So never lose faith. And take the example of all the great Mahatmas. Look at Mirabai. She had faith in Bhagavan Sri Krishna, no matter what her in-laws did for her son Gyaneshwar. How many problems, if you look at Sant Gyaneshwar and their family, how badly they were treated. They never lost their faith in God. So use them as example, Jesus Christ. So there are so many examples of great Mahatmas.
So, I mean, we have faith and I want to give this to my kids also, like, because they have to have faith in ones of great power.
Right.
So I have a 5-year-old and he's too young to understand all, like, you know, Mirabai and Janeshwar,
right.
And he's with Miss Binduji right now. So it's a very chota example hai, but it happened with me. So hum subah morning mein prayer karte hain, hum sham ko prayer karte hain, and he knows, like, you know, he's the one who is doing everything. So uske liye bahut choti baat hai ki he did his work, like he studies for the test, wo abhi first grade mein hai. So it's a very small test and he got 8 out of 10. I was asking him, and in the evening when we were doing puja, I told him, like, you know, Akshu, you did your part, you study, now pray to God ki bhai mera exam mein number acche aaye. Then he told me, mama, they don't listen, because when I was getting my paper back, answer sheets, I prayed ki bhagwan mujhe 10 mein se 10 number dena, but he gave me only 8. So how should I, like, you know, unko kaise samjhau main ye ki nahi,
tell him that he deserved only 8. You know, it's simple. Teacher will not give you more than what you deserve. You must not have worked hard enough, because God will give you what you deserve, not what you want. Every time it won't happen. So next time he should work harder, and maybe you can work a little harder with him. So, and then, you know, ultimately you, even 8 is good. At least he got 8. He didn't get 5. You know, 8 out of 10, 80% is pretty good rank. It's not bad. But People think that God, as I said, is an ATM. I put my card and it should come out. Prayers are not like that. You pray, yes, because so God may be with you. When you are taking the test, before you take the test, you should pray. But at the end, whatever result comes, you have to accept, okay, this is what I deserved. I did not work hard enough. Like one of my granddaughters, she used to always get A's, but now she's commuting a long distance to go to high school. She's in tennis team, so spending so much time. So she got two B's and she's very discouraged, but it's the same thing. You know, how much effort you put, that much result you will get. So you deserve, I think, that. And by coming to Balvihar, he will get closeness to God and he will understand who God is.
Yes.
And at the same time, in the house, we have to reinforce. So for that, we need to study Bhagavad Gita. Then only we can talk to our children, I think. Anybody? Satish Bhai, any comments? Anything?
So on this subject, what we
yeah, you can speak in the mic.
I'm loud enough, I think. What I'm saying is that the kids, they do what we do. They don't do what we tell them. So we just have to set the example for every time we have a failure and how we go through that. This is what they will see. And this is how they will learn how to go through that. If we say, yeah, you know, you should have gotten 10, you know, then he's going to be like, yes, my thinking is correct. But you just have to, like he said, you have to say, we only deserve 8 today. Tomorrow we may deserve 10. We might get it. We just have to work at it. And just having 8 doesn't mean it's the end of life. Everybody in the school don't get A pluses. So we have to accept that. That's my thing.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure, Hansi.
The karma theory much more stronger than asking favors from
you. Can come on the talk on the mic.
I think they can hear.
No, even in the Zoom, people like to hear. Zoom people. So we have a couple of minutes, so we can just.
You know, actually, in the life, karma theory is much more stronger than begging God to give you. The God is within you. He guides you. What we do is we fail to listen to Him. We can't beg to Him. He's your Father. You have to beg to your Father. So, yeah, praying and all that helps to calm your mind, to accept things as He gives because you think He gives you. But actually, what gives you the result is your own work, like your son's work or your work or your whatever. So, individual work, the karma theory never fails. So, don't look at God for giving everything to you. Look at your own results and improve it.
But now I can better explain it to Him. Now I have that knowledge to explain it to Him.
Yes.
That, yeah. True. Thank you for that. Like, you know, so I can better treat Him, kind
right.
of guide Him, not treat Him.
Yeah, her question was, I don't, maybe could have let you ask on the mic, but one was, how to have faith in God, and then her son got 8 out of 10, even after praying to God, and so how to answer Him, that I prayed and I didn't get.
He studied and prayed.
Right. But he didn't get 10 out of 10. So that was the question. So we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Asatoma Sarkamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Pityurma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो
नमः।
थैंक यू।
थैंक यू।